Hello and welcome to I Talk to Ghosts, the podcast that loves to have a little spooky fun. And tonight, the ghosts are right here with us as we explore tales of playful, pranking spirits. I'm your haunted host, Jennifer, a professional medium and a teller of ghost stories. And tonight, after those stories, I have a new in-studio medium reading to share with you, as well as a specific message from the spirits that may be for you, dear listener. Grab a candle and join me at my seance table later. But first, with April Fool's Day soon to follow, there are a few ghosts who like to join in on the pranks. The stories begin now. One summer weekend, my husband, my brother, and his girlfriend stayed a few nights at the notoriously haunted Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Named the most haunted hotel in America, the Crescent Hotel has a twisted history. In 1937, a man named Norman Baker bought the Crescent and turned it into the Baker Cancer Hospital. What was unknown to many of his patients was that Baker's miracle was a scam, and he had no medical training. Once again a hotel, we booked room 101, which was said to be Norman Baker's office when he ran his hospital. The first night we stayed up really late, and nothing happened in our room. We started to explore the hotel around 3:30 in the morning, in search of ghosts. We quietly took pictures in front of the doors of some of the rooms we heard were haunted. I also took many, many pictures in the hallways. I was catching some orbs, but I wanted something more. I stood in front of room 218 for about 45 minutes. Room 218 is supposed to be haunted by a ghost named Michael. The whole time I was standing there, I was talking to Michael, asking him to show me something, or to play a joke, or a trick on me. I didn't experience anything, although my brother and husband were catching a lot of green orbs around me with their cameras. Slightly disappointed, we went back to our room. Then, something strange happened. I was getting into bed, and a deck of cards that had been on the coffee table was now under my pillow. I knew that someone living could have been playing a trick on me, so I brushed it off and put the cards back on the coffee table in the other room and went to bed. The next day, the four of us had a late start, so we canceled the housekeeping service and eventually went shopping downtown. I thought nothing of the deck of cards that had been under my pillow until we came back to the room that evening, and the deck had been dealt into four hands on the coffee table. We had all been together downtown the entire time, and as I said, we didn't have maid service that day. But still, the only reasonable explanation was that the hotel staff was messing with us. The problem with that is the hotel makes a lot of money with the idea that they are one of the most haunted hotels in the U.S., and it would be a huge liability to them to be caught faking a haunting. At this point, we were a little spooked and a little skeptical. The four of us sat in the living room for a while discussing the possible ways this could have happened. While talking about it, I kept saying out loud that if there were any ghosts there with us, that I would like for them to show us something. Also while talking, my brother's girlfriend was placing the cards back in the box, so if they were even resorted, we would know. She placed one joker on top and one joker on the bottom. Then she put the deck of cards back to the middle of the table. My husband was convinced it was the hotel staff, so he set up a small trap with an empty water bottle. He placed the bottle against the door. If someone didn't know the bottle was there and opened the door, they would knock it over. Even if they set the bottle back, they wouldn't know exactly where it had been. We also took a ton of pictures so we could later inspect the position of the water bottle. That night, we went out for dinner, and a few hours later, we returned to the room. My husband unlocked the door slowly and reached in with just his hand to take a ton of pictures before disturbing the bottle. We entered the room. What we saw was unexplainable. There was a row of cards spread out in front of the door, face down, with two jokers facing up, while the rest of the cards were still in the box on the coffee table. No one had disturbed the water bottle. That night, we wanted more proof. We wanted something to happen while we were in the room. Nothing did. That morning, my husband awoke even more skeptical, since nothing happened while he was in the room. I was the last person in the bathroom before my husband went to take a shower. While he was in the shower, my brother, his girlfriend, and I went to breakfast. My husband met us about 30 minutes later, and he was a little upset that we were messing with him. He accused us of writing something on the mirror before we left the room. We didn't. The word "save" was written on the mirror with a soap-like texture while my husband was in the shower. We still can't logically explain how this happened, and I don't know the significance behind the word "save." I can't help but think that Michael had been playing a joke on us. Some months ago, I was looking for a watch that my grandmother had gifted me. I remembered putting it in my jewelry box, and a couple days later, I couldn't find it. I looked through the whole room, but it was nowhere. 2 months passed, and my grandmother had asked about the watch. I told her I needed to have it adjusted because it didn't fit me, and she told me she could fix it for me and told me to go look for it. But of course, I didn't know where it was. After that, I cleaned my bedroom and closet again, hoping to find it. I asked my partner to help, and we looked absolutely everywhere, especially the closet, because this is where I always put things and forget about it until later. But alas, no watch. I thought to myself, I'm never gonna find that watch. And I kind of gave up looking. A month passed, and I opened the closet to look for a jacket I had thrown in there, and the watch was literally right in front of my eyes. I quickly called my partner and showed her, and she asked me where I had found it, and I explained what happened. I asked her if she had anything to do with it, like maybe she was playing a prank on me, but she told me she hadn't found the watch or placed it there. Some days ago, my partner's headphones went missing. We looked on the bed, under the pillows and blankets, on the vanity, in the drawers, all of my full and empty purses. We also looked in her purse, and they were nowhere to be found. My girlfriend remembers she can find them with her cell phone's Find Me feature, and it said she had left them at work. Later on, she was looking for something else in her purse, and I was on my phone when we both looked up, and her headphones were right there in the middle of the bed. I asked her if she had found them, and she swore she hadn't, and asked me if I had put them there. This time, she thought I was playing a prank on her, but I wasn't. Then she said, "What if there's a ghost?" Which for some reason made me think of some other things that had gone missing some months ago. which were then found in my closet. I think she's right. I think we have a ghost who likes to play little pranks on us. About a month ago, my best friend, her husband, and I stayed at a hotel in a very historic haunted area where we lived. We decided it would be fun to do the Estes method with our spirit box. If you don't know what that is, it's a ghost hunting technique you use with a spirit box. One person puts on a blindfold and noise-canceling headphones plugged into the box, and they repeat only what they hear through the box, while others ask questions to the spirits you're trying to contact. We started off with my husband being the one isolated with the spirit box, asking typical questions like, "Is there anyone here with us?" We got a few responses, but nothing too impressive. We did this for about 30 minutes until we let my best friend try to be the spirit box receiver. This is when things got weird. Me and her husband asked if anyone was here and would like to speak, and immediately she said, "I'm here." We asked who, and she said, "It's Pat." Now, earlier that day, we used a paranormal phone app to contact spirits, and we got the name Patrick, so we assumed it might be him again. We kept asking questions, and she randomly said, "I'm the one who took your phone." Earlier, when we did use the phone app, her husband had misplaced his phone. Looking everywhere, he tore the bed apart and walked away to come back to find it sitting right on the bed in plain sight. At this point, we were screaming and laughing like, "No way. These responses are too accurate." I made the comment, "Aw, he pranked us." And my best friend, not being able to hear a word I was saying due to the headphones, replied, "Yeah, it was just a prank." It could have all been a coincidence, but it was such an exact response. After that, we started getting a lot more responses and conversations with more spirits, but Patrick was the most playful. Book a tarot reading with me. Tarot can be a wonderful source for affirmation, validation, and inspiration. To book a session with me, visit italktoghosts.com/readings. Let's see what the cards have to say for you. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. My guest this evening is Felicia. Felicia, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for meeting with me today and sharing your energy. And this is important. So I'm going to jump right into it. First impressions for me. There's a male coming in and he is emphasizing his spirituality as well as in life. I'm feeling this sense of connectivity with people. Relationships were important. Networking was important. Helping, maybe even something to do with like confidence. Like it just seemed like this was a large focus in their life or part of their personality, who they were.
That's my late husband.
Okay. Can you speak to that a little bit? I'm trying to, the way this is coming in for me, and every reading is different, I'm feeling these details that I'm not familiar with as a way that someone would express themselves. But yeah, the first thing he says to me is faith. Does that make sense to you? Can you connect that?
That could connect for him. Yeah. So he was in the military. Okay. And he was in charge of soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it was really important to him to kind of help them figure stuff out. And he was responsible for them. And he, in his own life, he didn't have what felt like love from family, himself. And he and I were trying to navigate life, kind of figuring it out together. Mm-hmm. But while figuring it out together and that desperation for family and connectiveness, he wanted to give that to his soldiers. So I think all of that really ties in there. And for him, okay, a big part of that journey has been exploring our faith.
Okay.
Over the years.
Yeah. Working with soldiers, they're on the younger side too, right? He's bringing in this sense of camaraderie and a little bit of goofiness. You know, it's... That makes sense. You're nodding. a playfulness there of, oh, we're doing this thing, you know? It wasn't just, because when you think military, you think this is serious. It better be buttoned up. But no, his heart and his personality is coming through with that. He's just very warm. Again, not what you think of when we think career military, right? Yeah. Everyone has this sense of family with him. And like, he needed that in his relationships. Positivity was important. He wants to acknowledge to you his regret about the timing of things.
Yeah, the night before we had just celebrated my 7-year-old turning 8.
I'm so sorry.
And we had talks and plans.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. He wanted to comfort you about that timing and how sudden it was. And if there's any way he can soften that for you, I realize that some time has passed, but that kind of suddenness lingers with you, and it's hard to trust anything after that. He wants to bring in that element of faith again and spirituality. It's easy to disconnect or feel rejected from your spirituality when something like this happens. And he wants to vocalize that he's still here with you, still here with you, baby. And if anything, he has this quirky sense of, can't you tell? You know, that don't let this disconnect you. If he could help reinforce your faith, he wants to do that, fortify you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is there someone coming through with him?
Probably.
Someone younger?
Yeah.
Okay. I could be mixing this up terribly, so I apologize. Was there some kind of issue?
I had a 14-year-old. And she had a lot of struggles. She had a lot of things that she had to try to
navigate through. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's coming through like stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. It wasn't until the very end that we finally got some diagnoses, like ADHD and other struggles that she was dealing with.
I'm seeing a lot of bright colors around her.
I think she had a lot of vibrancy. Did she like bright colors too?
The last time she got to dye her hair, she actually had magenta, teal blue, and like a beautiful purple. It was
gorgeous. Yeah. Okay. I see her collecting things too, like being drawn to things that had color.
Honestly, so I've heard this one other time before from somebody else too, with the bright colors with her. And I actually think it's her energy and her vibrancy and passion. Once she would get into something, I mean, she was, you know, and if she loved, she loved hard. She didn't know how to not love hard.
Yeah. Like, lock onto it. You know, when I feel like her pulling things towards her, and seeing those colors, it's very much like, this is my obsession of the week, you know, and it's all this. Okay. Was clothing and texture of clothing important?
I'm not sure about texture, but the last 2 years that she was with me, she wanted to explore gender identity and just identity in general. And so it was really important to her to keep going through different, you know, we tried the boys section, we tried the emo-ish clothes. So that was important for her to try to feel comfortable.
Okay. Because what I'm sensing is like really examining, like, is this going to be comfortable? I don't think she would tolerate anything that just didn't feel right. Like it, yeah, exploring the sense of how this feels on my body. Maybe that's it in what you're saying. Animals. A fixation on just loving animals. Animals.
Yep.
I'm drawing hearts around it. Like animals.
Yeah.
She was really smart. And she's telling me that sometimes she was too sharp.
She wanted to figure out the world her way.
Yeah.
And she was brilliant in the sense that she really could get away with doing that a lot more than I thought a kiddo her age could.
Yeah.
But it definitely made it hard to navigate between the parent-kiddo relationship.
That push-pull. She wants to apologize for the resistance. The resistance that was going on there. With her, I'm seeing music and dancing. There's a lot of motion with her.
Yeah, a lot. She really, really wanted to listen to music as much as possible, especially her music, her playlist, her songs. It was really important. And then any event we were ever able to go to, if it was a wedding, whatever, if there was music, she was going to be there. And she didn't care if she had training to dance or any of that. She was just going to be there just dancing, just feeling the music.
Yeah. She's like, there's no time to be shy there. This was a form of expression for her. She could relate to music and lyrics in a way that she, okay, we talked about how smart she is. I feel like her emotions are so overpouring that music is a way for her to not only channel and focus on a certain mood and emotion, but also a form of expression where it's like, oh my gosh, this is so deep. This is it exactly, you know?
Yeah.
A lovely sense of wonder. And she was really sweet when she was little.
Yeah.
She was really sweet when she was little. Did she draw you little hearts and notes and stuff and like give you little like maybe a little like torn up paper? You know what I mean? Like, here, yeah. Mama, this for you, you know?
Yeah. And she always did that too. She always called me Mama, and I never knew where it came from because we never did that between my husband and I. And the other ones always just called me Mom.
Yeah. Mom.
And she always did Mama. And then when she got older, she did Mum. And so she her own cute little.
Yeah. I'm completely seeing her run up to you and saying, here, Mama, this for you, this for you, this, you know, this little thing. And, or like, I'm even seeing like little scraps of paper, like teeny little, and like, it's just so endearing.
She helped my youngest with her first steps, and there's a little video, and she was really little. And so she's walking backwards holding, you know, this little 1-year-old that's wobbling. And then she lets go and sees baby start to walk towards her. And then she looks at the camera at me and she goes, Mama, her did it, Mama.
Just so sweet. She's showing me periods of seclusion, though, where she would kind of self-isolate.
Yeah. Yeah, as she got older.
Yeah. She's showing me like a bucking horse. Like that's how it felt for her. Like just trying to hold on to things.
Yeah. That really, I think that really emphasizes kind of what she was dealing with behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What she was feeling that she was dealing with too.
Yeah. Like trying to hold on. Hard to find the center, like what to, you know, it's kind of like spinning, you know, like what do you put your eyes on, you know, to find that center was really, she wants to say how much she loves you and she's sorry that it was so hard. Can you understand that?
Yeah.
She focused on the wrong things sometimes, and she just wants to acknowledge that brilliant brain that she has and how amazing you were. And please don't blame yourself. Okay.
Yeah, that means a lot.
Yeah. I think we all have fears in life, and it's hard to address them. And then you look back and you say, I shouldn't have been afraid. Right?
Yeah.
Do you light it like candles for her?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Is there like a vanilla candle?
Something? It's always a white one.
A white one. Okay. Yeah. She's like, she wants to make a little bit of a joke of put some more scent into it.
All right, touche.
Yeah. I don't know if you can like tie that into her personality or not, but she's just kind of like, all right, come on. Or she doesn't want you to be solemn about it. She wants you, she's like, Could you liven it up? I'm so glad that you get that, because that could just come off so wrong.
right. No, that's totally her. It hasn't been that long since she left, and it's been well under a year. And with my husband's passing, I felt the feelings and the phases a lot more. And with her, it's been more of a residual shock.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, I haven't even known how to like talk to her when I want to, and you don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of just stagnant and just stuck. Yeah. And so when I've lit the candles for her, it's kind of been the same thing. It's just been like, I miss you, I love you. But yeah, exactly. Versus, I know, again, she would just light up the room. At her service, I had so many people just say she left such an imprint on this world. And it was so much more than I realized. So it makes a lot of sense that she's ready for some fun energy.
Yeah. There's that sense of, let's break this up a little bit. Let's move, you know, and that's how you'll feel her, because you're sharing in how it was before and you're continuing it on with, you know, blast some music while you clean the house, you know, and just, yeah. And, you know, cause you'll be moving around and, you know, and I think a lot of us struggle. So this is important. There, a lot of us struggle with what to say. So I think she would love for you to just talk to her like you did.
Yeah.
And include her in your everyday, you know, and that is more than enough. That is more than enough.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Yeah.
And it helps a lot, because again, with that stagnant, it's just been, there's that guilt that we feel as parents too, you know, yeah. When we couldn't make the world better for them.
Yeah. Yeah. She's encouraging you to meditate. Do you meditate? And go ahead. She thinks you're so capable of going deep. So she wants you to connect with yourself as deep as you can and be there. She thinks you're wonderful for seeing her and all of your kids. And that she appreciates how present you are and how valuable that is in life. You don't talk to your children as if they are babies. You talk to them like the human beings that they are. And she appreciates how you saw her, you know, and you gave her space.
Thank you. It means a lot.
She wants to thank you. Never doubt yourself. You're solid, and people need you, and she needs you. Yeah. I have some messages that I wrote down for you. I wrote down, you have a lot to juggle, but you have the energy within you to do that. And some people may marvel, how do you do it? And you may doubt it in yourself, like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted, I can't do this. But just, no, you can do it. You can do it. Have faith in that. And with love, you are able to manifest anything. Create that life. Create life. And the last part of it is celebrate all of it. You know, and you know, there's a difference between shifting out of the, oh my gosh, I just can't, to the, I don't have to do everything today. Focus right now, love right now, celebrate right now, and just pour love into everything is the, if I can encapsulate the message for you, is that something that resonates for you right now?
Yeah, so much. Okay. So much. And it helps just to focus, because when everything does feel overwhelming, just to have something to come back to in the core.
Yeah.
It's really meaningful.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I can't emphasize how much emotion is coming in here, and your husband really wanted to give that time to your daughter for you. you know, but know that he is there. And he's kind of like, I see him kind of like supporting her to talk to you because he felt like that was really, really important right now.
Thank you.
Before we go this evening, do you have a personal ghost story that you would like to share?
So if I think of personal ghost story, I think of actually the couple weeks following when I lost my husband.
Listener ghost story.
Literally every single morning, starting the morning after, there was rainbows coming into my bedroom. And there was no reason for it. I scanned the window, anything I could think of. This had never happened before. And it happened every single morning for about 3 weeks. And so even if we tried sleeping in a different room, there would be a little rainbow coming through the room. And so my girls and I would all say, "Daddy left us another rainbow," and he's saying good morning. And then ever since to this day now, it's been close to 3 years now, every single important day, whether it's a death anniversary or a birthday or Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, we saw a triple rainbow as we were driving. Wow. Never in my life did I know that was a thing.
Me neither.
And on his birthday, we were going to go whitewater rafting to remember him. And a hawk swooped right down. And then, and I thought I was going to hit it. And as I started to brake, we noticed a huge rainbow. So every single important day or day that we've been missing him more, there's been an amazing rainbow.
Wow.
And I'm not one to look for signs either. I'm very like rationalize it. And uh-huh. We finally just accept that that's Daddy's helping us to see rainbows.
Yeah. Well done, Dad. Well done, hubby. That is just really moving. And yeah, just so fitting. So fitting for him. Well, thank you again. This has been absolutely lovely. And I really appreciate you sharing so much with me because it's very personal. And there's just so much love there for you. They're here for you and they're with you.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Would you like a free spirit reading with me and record your reading for the podcast? Sign up for your chance to be selected by visiting italktoghosts.com/guest. And as an added bonus, if you don't want to leave your reading up to chance, I'll let you in on a secret. There's a discount offer to book a private session with me, so you can book a date and time for certain. Visit italktoghosts.com/guest for more details.
Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. I have a message from the spirits this evening for someone listening to the podcast. So thank you for joining me in the candlelight. Tonight, as I do spirit work, I have with me an herb called skullcap. If you're not familiar with skullcap, it's often put in tea to help with sleeping. It's also known for its magical properties in aiding with divination. I'm going to ground in center. Going to call a spirit close. Tonight I have with me someone's mom because this is such loving and nurturing energy. It's very obvious. She is sharing with me that you had a lovely adult friendship together, and something comforting and specific is you two had this standing agreement that if the weather was forecasted to be bad that day, like terrible downpour rain, the two of you would get together and make some tea and play Scrabble together. And there is so much love and comfort feeling this.
It's so beautiful, the relationship the two of you have. So please know that she is still with you and offering that energy. She's sharing with me that she passed away from stomach cancer, and that your constant presence helped her so much during that time, and she wants to thank you for that, for being there with her. And she knows it was really difficult for you too. And her message for you tonight is a simple one with love. She wants you to consider taking more time and comfort with your hobbies. She's showing me that you create things through craft work, and that it's really wholesome for you to do this work. And we push the need for self-care activities and things that we deem not productive for other things in life to have priority instead. She just wants you to take a little breath and contemplate that the small things that you do that you consider just hobbies or things you can do in your little free time actually matter a lot and are important, and that you can push them up a little bit in the priority list of life. I'm gonna leave it at that. Just know how much she loves you and how much you are still connected. I hope you are aware of it, because she is very much around you and near you and part of you. If this message connects for you, please reach out, because I would love to know. Thank you. Are you enjoying your ghostly visit? If so, please follow, like, comment, and share. The ghosts may be talkative, but they are lousy at marketing, so every click helps. Tell your friends, and please leave a kind review so that others might join us. The spirits, and I thank you. And with that, dear listener, we've reached the end of this episode of I Talk to Ghosts. I hope you've enjoyed the spirit work that I shared with you this evening, as well as those tales of playful ghosts. Have you ever had a spirit play a prank on you? I would love to hear it, so please reach out to me. In the meantime, wherever you wander off to in this world or the next, just remember, come back and visit with me. Have a lovely evening and good night. If you listen to my podcast, you have to be like me. You love listening to spooky stories. I'm excited to say that Audible is a sponsor of this podcast. Audible's storytelling keeps me company no matter what other task I'm doing. And you know what? Listening can also keep my stress at bay, because my mind is being drawn into the stories I'm listening to. Sign up and try it now by visiting audibletrial.com/ghosts. I'll also have a link for you in my episode description notes that you can click on. Happy spooky readings!